Hey, what's up, everybody? Nat and I want to invite you personally to our grand opening. Transformation Church on February 9th is the only place for you to be as we celebrate 21 years of being a ministry and
5 years of us being the lead pastor.
Come on.
We're here. How do we do it?
I don't know how we made it.
Dear God, Mike.
But it was the grace of God. The grace of God allowed us to be pastors for 5 years, and I believe the grace of God is going to allow you to get here and celebrate with us.
Yes, TC Nation, we want you in the building. Bring your mama, daddy, your cousin, best friends, everybody. Yeah, bring them too. Yep. Bring all. Come, we want you to be here. It is free, and we can't wait. It's the perfect time to come. If you've been wondering when's a good time to come, this is the event. This is what you want to be at.
And really what it's symbolizing is the mark of something that has happened in our church that we want you to be a part of in Crazy Faith. So Saturday, the 8th, we're having a ribbon-cutting ceremony at noon at the building to officially open it up. And Sunday morning, we are going in at 11 a.m. We're going to worship, and it's going to be phenomenal because there's a word in the house. And that Sunday night, we are having a live worship recording where we're going to sing some of the songs and record them that have been marks of this movement. And we want you to be in the place.
And it's free.
It's free.
And it's going to be amazing. And we cannot wait for it to happen. And we can't wait for you to be there.
Hey, February 9th, Transformation Church, grand opening. Let's do it. I always battle with how much y'all can take. No. I gotta be transparent because I always battle, like, do they want me to be like raw and real? Or do they want the idea of what a pastor's supposed to be like? Because my job qualifications, like how I got this job, I made it in by only the grace of God. And so, like, when I'm preparing, like I wrestle a lot of times as if, will this tear down what they think a leader should be, or would my authenticity inspire them to stay committed to God? Because none of us can do this without Him. And so I decided today that I was going to be real, real. And so I don't need nobody to judge me as I'm about to say what I'm about to say. We're a hot church. And that means we're humble, open, and transparent. And I can't even believe I'm about to say this. Okay. So we just came out for 21 days of prayer and fasting. And the word for this year is what?
Stronger.
You got to say it with your chest.
Stronger.
And we're believing in faith that we're going to get stronger and that God's going to change us from our weakness. And we've talked about weakness for the past 3 weeks. And we've been talking about God allowing us to win in weakness. And Pastor Charles last week killed it by talking about our glitch is our gift and all this other stuff. And so, you know, I've been believing God for some huge things on this 21 days of prayer and fasting. And when I approach the last 3 days, usually of prayer and fasting, I kind of know what this season has been. And usually I'm like fired up. Like, you know, when you get off something and you've done everything the way you're supposed to do it, and you're like, ah, that's what I wanted. And, something interesting happened to me in this season. We've been doing this for years. And when I came off this time of prayer and fasting, I didn't feel stronger. Like, your pastor did not feel like, let's go. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm ready to take on the devils. I was kind of like, no more devils. If I can be real with you, I was like, I don't really want to take another hit. Like, during this time of prayer and fasting, I got sick. During this time of prayer and fasting, I've been fighting to keep my wife and my children a priority in everything that's been happening. Can I be real right now? During this time of prayer and fasting, I've been dealing with my son's recovery of autism. We've been trying to do all this other stuff, and I was just kind of like, ooh. I thought I was supposed to feel stronger. I thought I was supposed to come off of this ready to fight everything. but I kind of feel like I want to rest. Now, I'm the pastor of the church, so if I'm feeling this, I know there's a few people in the audience and that are watching. And I'm not trying to kill nobody's high, but I had to come for the people today who have done the right thing and don't feel the results. And it might not be in this season of prayer and fasting, but there's been some areas in your life that you know you're doing the right things. Some of you have been tithing. Some of you have been giving. Some of you have been not cussing people out. Like you said. And you like, but they still mean to me. And they still won't forgive me. And they still treat me. You'd be like, I'm just going to cuss them out. And I'm going to have the same result as I have now, Lord. You know my heart. I tried for 3 days. And so, me and God's relationship is very authentic. So on Thursday, me and God had an all-out conversation. And I went to him and I was real. I said, God, I do not feel stronger. And it was as if he blew me off in our prayer time and was like, but you're stronger. Maybe he didn't hear me. Let me come back. God, you know how you think you gotta like get it right? Let's talk King James. Thou knowest that thine is weakest, and thou strength is not in doing, thou servant. Like, God, I don't feel strong. He said, but you're stronger. I said, God, I promise I would have felt the same level of strength I feel now if I would have ate Bluebell ice cream every day for the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And he said to me, but I promise you're stronger. And I said, God, I don't feel stronger. He said, that don't mean you ain't strong. And I said, God, you're going to have to break this down for me. And then he began to ask me questions deep down in my spirit. He said, did you fast? I said, yes. Did you pray? I said, yes. He said, did you obey? I said, yes. Did you even give those things away I asked you to give away? I said, yes. He said, then you're stronger. I said, I don't feel stronger. And he said, that's it. It is the sign of a maturing believer when you know something that you don't feel. I'm gonna help you. I know I did the work. I know God told me things. I know, and I don't feel it. And he said, that means you're maturing and you're getting stronger. And I said, hold on. Hold on. Because I still don't feel it. And he said, the majority of your Christian life, you will have to work on what you know and not what you feel. I'm about to preach to somebody in this place today. Because you've been waiting on a feeling to change the way you feel about your situation. But it will not be a feeling. It will be a knowing. And when I sat in this moment, God began to tell me. He said, Michael, what do you know you did? I said, I know I fasted. I don't feel the results of fasting, but I know I did it. He said, what else did you do? I said, I know I prayed. I don't feel the results of my prayer, but I know I did do it. I know I obeyed. I know I gave. And God said, faithfulness is greater than feelings. And I came to encourage somebody in this room today, because you may not need this word today, but 3 weeks from now, when you're ready to throw in the towel and your prayer and fasting juice has worn off, what you need to know is faithfulness is greater than feelings. And then God gave me a phrase that blew my mind. He said, you need to be committed to the resolve and not the results. You need to be committed to the resolve, because the resolve is greater than results. And our generation wants results. And we do not stay committed to what we said, stay steadfast to what God told us, be vigilant and what God is doing in us. We're not resolved. We want results, and we let the results mess up our resolve. And he said to me, he said, Michael, this is the enemy's greatest tactic for every one of my children. All the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, when I created this amazing, luscious, more beautiful space for them than anybody, and I gave them one boundary: don't eat of the fruit on this tree. It wasn't the only tree in the garden. It was one of billions of trees. And they decided to listen to the enemy, that they had already made a resolve that we're going to obey God. We're going to eat of all the other trees. And they listened to the enemy saying, well, what would be the worst result of you eating the fruit on this tree? And one moment of letting go of their resolve made them forfeit the paradise that God had for them. I came to talk to somebody who's been looking for the feeling after this fast. Been looking for the feeling after you broke up with Jerome. You've been looking for the feeling after you stopped beating your kids and they still acting bad. You've been looking for the feeling to make you feel better. And God says, this will not be a season of feelings. This will be a season of faithfulness. And what you're going to have to switch your mind to is that my resolve is greater than the results. Somebody say that with me. My resolve. What happened? Y'all ain't even talking no more. Somebody say, my resolve is greater than results. Say it again. My resolve is greater than results. So you need to be resolved that you're gonna stay pure. Even if that means you do not have a date for the next 3 years. I'm coming for you today. Some of you need to be resolved. I'm going to save money and get out of debt. Even if that means you don't have birthday presents for the next 3 years. Some of y'all need to be resolved that you're going to work on your business. Even if that means you don't have a social life for the next 3 years. But my gram going to be so weak. But your purpose is too. But we want results, but we have no resolve. Okay, I'm gonna explain it to you because some of y'all just sitting here looking at me right now. See, resolve means settled, decided, firmly on a course of action. Like, I have to be at a place right now that my feelings no longer matter as much as I've allowed them to matter before. How do I explain this? Because they don't even get it, Lord. Okay, let me just give you a personal example. I didn't know how real I was going to be, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Y'all remember the first week of Crazy Faith when I was talking about I got the keys? Here's a picture from that first week. This is me, and this is the heaviest I've ever weighed in my life. I was 254 pounds and counting, okay? And I felt horrible. I was tired all the time. You didn't know it because I would get up on stage for an hour and a half and jump around and act the fool and do all that other stuff. But while something was winning victoriously on the outside, I was dying on the inside. So after this day, what I wore this big old sweater that said Holy Spirit on it. That was a declaration, like, Holy Spirit, help me not be fat no more. I made a resolve. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and he said, Michael, I only can bless your ministry to the level that your body can take it. See, what you don't realize is that your resolve is affecting your effectiveness. And so I said, I'm going to be resolved that I'm going to be healthier. I was yelling, I got the keys, but I really had the belly. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? So I made a resolve that I was going to eat healthy and I was going to exercise. One of the crazy things about exercising, let me take these Chelsea boots off, is that when I decided to exercise, I had to make a decision that my resolve was greater than the results I would see. Because every time I would go to the gym, you know, ouch. All right. I should be able to go to the mirror. I don't know why people that do competitions pose like that, but I just be trying. I don't see it yet, so. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, 7, 7. Let me go back to this mirror and make sure. You know the most discouraging thing about working out? Is if you work out always looking for the result, it will discourage the work. I came to challenge somebody. I feel this. God is having me press right here because somebody is about to look at the thing that measures if you've been successful or not. And you're gonna give up because you did not see the result that you wanted to see. I feel stronger, but there's no evidence of it yet. And what many people in the body of Christ are doing is they're stopping the progress that they should be making spiritually, physically, emotionally, because they don't feel like it's working. Do you know what the most devastating thing was inside of my entire 5-month journey of losing this weight? Today, I'm 220 pounds. I started, oh, no, come on, I feel the presence of God if you don't. But do you know the most discouraging thing on that journey was when I did everything that I was supposed to do to lose weight that week, and I wanted to see too early if I had lost some more weight. Like yesterday, all I ate was kale and air. Drank some water, worked out twice. Let me step on this scale. No! I gained 3 pounds. I still got sick when I was praying and fasting. I still got let go off of the job after I gave in the crazy faith offering. And the problem is that too many of us are so caught up in the results when God wants us to focus on the resolve. I'm trying to give you a word today that's gonna hold you through 2020. Because when the storm comes, you're gonna think God left you. When you have to go through the counseling, you're gonna feel like the marriage is over. When you have to actually downsize the house you're living in and move into an apartment with 3 kids for a year so you can get your finances and credit in order, y'all ain't saying nothing to me right now. Because you think God is the God. We go from glory to glory. But I found out that glory doesn't look the same in every season. Y'all don't hear me. Do y'all remember that God was getting glory when Jesus was in the Garden of He was in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating blood. He was in a place and a part of agony. But God was still getting glory. And I know this is for everybody who came to get a feel-good word today. I want to give you a word that's going to help you live through every trial that you face. And so I think there needs to be a greater, there needs to be a greater stance of us killing and not caring about how we feel. And I just feel like it's killing the church today. Oh, I felt like coming today. Who cares? Oh, I felt like giving this. Will you do it when you don't feel it? Will you give when you don't feel it? Will you serve when you don't feel it? Will you love when you don't? The title of my message is, I know it even when I don't feel it. And the reason I need to camp out here is because there are things you know that you won't recognize. There are things that every one of us, I knew every time that I went to the gym, even though I didn't feel it, I knew I was getting better. I knew my heart was being trained to be able to carry all this weight. I knew that I was getting stronger, but I couldn't see it and I couldn't feel it. And if I'm very honest, there were some days, my trainer's in the room right now, there were some days I ain't show up. I pulled up to the gym. I know he saw my car. It's glass all in the front. I pulled up to the gym and I backed out because I didn't feel it. And my question is, how many of us have shown up to be a father or a mother, but then backed out? How many of us showed up to be the leader God called us to be, but then we backed out because we didn't feel it? I am divorcing my feelings today. No, I need somebody to hear me in this place. If I'm really going to get stronger, if I'm going to be everything God's called me to be, I must divorce how I feel. And the great thing about it is most of y'all aren't clapping, and that's why you'll have the same thing next year that you had this year. Because somewhere along the line, you're not going to feel it, and you're not going to know how to deal with it. I am helping. Because this is what nobody told me. Everybody said, you'll know it when you feel it. How do you know they're the right one for you? You'll just feel it. No, no, baby. There's some things you can feel that'll lie to you. He's a drunk. Like, you can't, like, he's fine. But he's abusive. But I feel this thing. Oh, you feel that too, don't you? Let me stop. Y'all pray for me. But do you know how many things that we ignore because we feel something? God's telling us the whole time, that's not the job, that's not the move, but I feel, this is the best one, especially all y'all, when y'all talk to pastors, I feel peace. You feel peace? All your accountability and all your friends and all your family say this is a wrong move. Everybody in the world, Stevie Wonder can see this. This is not a good situation for you. And I have watched people bypass all accountability because they feel like this is the good thing to do. My question is to you today. Is will your feelings keep leading your life? Or will you make a decision that I am going to be faithful no matter what I feel? You know what? A great example of this is in Judges, and there's a man named Gideon, and they usually tell this story about how Gideon defeated this huge Midianite army with only 300 people. But I want to take it from a different perspective and see if we can find out how that we have to be resolved to know what God said about us, and not what's happened in our past, and not what's happening in our present, and not what we think is going to happen in our future. And we would be resolved instead of looking for the results. Look at it. Judges chapter 16, verse 11. I feel it even. I know it even when I don't feel it. I feel this thing. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah. Not Oprah, but Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, here's our star character, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. To hide, he was scared, the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, look what he told him, mighty hero. God showed up and called Gideon something stronger than he was at that moment. He showed up in the worst situation. He's at the bottom of a wine press, believing that his enemies are about to take him out. And God shows up and speaks a word over him that is supposed to give him strength. He says, "Mighty warrior." And Gideon looks around like, "Who in the world are you talking to?" This is my first point. When God begins to tell you that you're stronger, when he's given us that word for this year, I want you to write this down. Stronger is a prophetic declaration from God, but it has to be a divine decision by you. God can speak something over you that you disagree with. And many of us, God has called you son, daughter, righteous, pure, holy, more than enough. And you're like, "Nah, not me. Not because of what I've been through. Not with my background and my qualifications." And I came to say to you today, I don't know who you are, but God is trying to speak a word over you at the beginning of 2020 to give you the faith to continue to move on and not consult your feelings, but be faithful, be resolved, and not look for results. And he's showing up and he's saying, "You're stronger. You're stronger in your marriage. You're a hero. You're going to be able to lead a large church." And Michael says, "Who? Because I don't have anything that will qualify me for this position." And God says, "I'm trying to speak a prophetic word over your life. Decide that you're going to agree with what God has said." My question to you today is, what has God said over your life that you have not agreed with yet? I talk to people so many times and I'm like, "Man, you got a speaking gift over you." "Oh, no, I ain't made for no big stage." "Which stage are you made for?" "Oh, man, you're so creative." "Oh, no, I'm not creative like them." Why, when somebody speaks something over your life, you automatically start trying to put it up against somebody else who has maybe a more mature version of that same gift? God is saying, "I saw you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and I know what I put inside of you. And when I show up and I speak a word of you," there are some senior saints in this room that think their life is over, and God is calling to you right now, and he's saying, "Your latter years are going to be greater than your former." And you're talking about, "Well, you don't know what diagnosis I just got. And you don't know that I'm still having a problem with my arthritis. And you don't know." And God said, "You think that that's the thing that I'm looking at to decide if you're going to be effective in the kingdom of God? For me, I factored all of that in." And look what he said. Gideon, like all of us, I can't do this. And look at the guarantee that Gideon has. He says, "Yeah, you can. You're a mighty hero because the Lord is with you." And today I need you to know what the Bible tells us in Romans 8:31. If God be for us. See, I always say this because y'all don't believe it yet. You do. Thank you, sir. But we got to convince all of them that if all we have is God, if everybody else leaves, if everybody else chooses a different path, if my whole posse and all my friends go another way, if God be for, y'all don't hear me in the building. Somebody say, "Who?" If God called me to pastor this church, who? Who can be against me? If God called me to lead my family and be the father to MJ, who? What I'm saying is, I don't want to say any more cliches and not actually believe them in application in my life. And Gideon does what most of us would do. When God speaks a prophetic word over our life, we start trying to convince God of why it can't happen. Look at him, Judges 16:13. "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why have all of this happened to me? And where all the miracles our ancestors told us about. And didn't you say that the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. See, this is the thing. When you're looking for results, he was still looking for results. You got to never look at your situation to determine your strength. I'm going to say it again. Never look at your situation. Well, this is what happened, and I just lost this, and these people just left, and that's happened. That never is an indication of how strong you are. And what we do all the time is God says, start the business. And we say, well, I don't have any money, and I don't have a degree. And God said, that is not a qualification for being used by me. I'm asking you to just believe the word, and I need you to move on that. And we, let me bring it back. I start trying to convince God that maybe you missed it. Maybe I don't have the strength to lead this church. Maybe I don't have the ability to do all the things that God has called me to be. And I have to be real with you today. And I keep saying it, but you don't realize that as I'm speaking to tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people right now, the enemy, this whole time of prayer and fasting, I'm going to use this as a therapy session right now. This is the only way I know how to lead y'all. I only know how to lead like with what's really happening. The enemy has been trying to convince me. It got bigger than you. It's too much. Too much. You can't. There's no way you could keep your peace and stay pure. Thousands of people are listening to you. All it takes is one mess up, Mike, and you're finished. Oh, they think you're great now. Wait till they find out who you really are. Wait till you can't come speak a Sunday because you were just stressed. Now, I don't know what you deal with on your Monday through Saturday, but these are suggestions every single week. They going to see you outside of Target arguing Natalie because she spent an extra $150. On what? I don't know. They're going to find out you're human. You're going to not say the scripture right. You're going to get on something, embarrass the church. You're going to, and it's all of these suggestions that I'm not strong enough to do what God's called me to do. But then I have to remember what I know. I know that's how I feel, and how I feel is real. But what I know is if God be for me, I didn't call myself to this, but he called me. I know that when I stand up, that he's going to speak through. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Somebody shout, I know. If we do not stop listening to our feelings and we go back to what we know, I am the righteousness in Christ Jesus. I know that my steps are ordered by the Lord. I know that if I would acknowledge him in all my ways, he would direct my path. Somebody shout at me, I know. The only comfort that you're going to have in this season of getting stronger is not what you feel. It's what you know. The old folks used to say it like this. I was young, but now I'm old. And I know I never seen the righteous forsaken. My old pastor used to say it like this. I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. See, there's something that you have to, everybody say no. And today as we progress in this stronger series, I had to stop because I want to teach you how to get stronger. But I want you to know strength first starts in your mind. Strength is about what you know and not how you feel. So look what the Lord says. He says in verse 14, The Lord turned to Gideon and said, this is my faith. This is one of the most gangster verses. I go to this verse every week almost because this is what I have to do to pump myself up to do what God's called me to do. Go with the strength you have. Hold on, no, wait, what? I struggled all week with all of this, and then I pray to you, God, and you say, yep, go with that. That's all the strength you need. Like, hold on, what are you saying? What you got is just enough. Hold on, Lord, but I can't even spell words with three syllables in them, Lord. And you call me to write a book? Go with the strength you have. Well, God, I didn't see what a successful marriage was supposed to look like. And so I don't know if we can work this out. Go with the strength you have. Well, God, I've never been able to hear anybody or see anybody actually manage money well. And you called me to be a millionaire and a philanthropist and do all this stuff. He said, all I'm asking you to do is go with the strength you have. And this should be so encouraging to the people in this room, because when you look at what God's called you to do and you look at what you naturally have, it won't add up. When I look at what God's called me to do and I look at what I naturally have, it won't add up. But God never is requiring you to do it without him. So all he asks you to do is go with the strength you have. Now, this is beautiful because you need to write this point down. The strength you have is enough. So go with that. Now, what would happen if the rest of the year you stopped making excuses and you went with the strength you had? I was talking to somebody, I'll let them remain nameless, but they was like, yeah, this year I'm gonna start working out. And I was like, let's go. And they were like, I'm gonna start like in July. And I was like, why? And they were like, because first I got to get my little home gym situation out, and I got to like build up my strength to actually be in the gym with other people so that they don't see how weak I actually am. So I'm going to do this P90X for 90 days, knowing that was a lie. And then I'm going to go do this and do this. And I told her, I said, that will always delay what you want to see, because you're going to give yourself an excuse not to go. I said, you need to go with the strength you have. Somebody say, go.
Go.
With the strength I have. I came to declare that you have no more excuses in 2020. Nobody clapping over there. It's okay. God speaks over you, mighty hero. You tell him why it can't happen. He says, go with the strength you have. That's the formula. Chris, you're going to do great things this year. I can't, God, go with the strength you have. Your marriage is going to succeed. God, he crazy. Go with the strength you have. I'm going to be pure and not have sex with anybody outside of marriage. There's no way Jerome is right here and he has a six pack. Go. Somebody say go. With the strength you have. Gideon's whole instruction, and I need you to see that this is very basic, but I need you to know it and not feel it. This season of getting stronger will not be about how I feel. I've told people to stop asking me that question because I don't want to lie to them. How you feeling? Horrible. I'm mad. But that's not the question I need you to use to delineate, am I okay? Do you understand? Don't ask me how I feel. Ask me how I'm doing. How am I doing? I'm being faithful. How are you doing? I'm staying pure. How are you doing? I'm being consistent. See, because if I stop worrying about how I feel, I'm gonna get the results of being stronger. And I know this is a heavy word for some of y'all because it's going to require you doing something. And y'all want to come to church and be entertained, but you don't want to go home and change. Do y'all know I've had this word for 3 years, but I couldn't teach it because I hadn't disciplined myself to live it? I knew I needed to lose weight 4 years ago. When I was in more XL shirt, I had more X's in front of my L. It's just... And I did it to myself, and God was trying to help me get out of it. And my question is, what is God trying to help you get out of and get into in your purpose? But you just don't feel it. So, okay, I don't feel it no more. I don't feel it, but I know it. Gideon knew that the Lord was with him. Look at verse 14. Oh, I love this. Judges 16, 14. 6:14? It says 16. All right, my bad. Judges 6:14. After he tells him, go with the strength that you have, he said, how am I going to rescue Israel from the Midianites? And he says, I am sending you. And this is the thing that I need you to know, is strength is directly connected to where you are sent. Do not get into something you were not sent to and ask for God's strength in it. See, a lot of us are like, this is what I'm about to do. And God is saying, I didn't ask you to do that. That wasn't me. I'm not supplying for plans you made up. And so what he wants you to do is get in the place that he sent you to. In Judges 6:15, it says, but the Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I'm the least in my entire family. Dang it. He bought into the lie of the enemy. God gave him a word. He literally tells him, you don't have to get stronger. Go with the strength you have. And then he listens to the suggestions of sabotage. Write this down. Because these are the suggestions that are going to come to you as you get stronger. He listened to his feelings. The first feeling that he listened to is the feeling that would make him overestimate. He overestimated what he would have to do alone. He said, how can I rescue Israel? Boy, God didn't ask you to rescue Israel on your own. He didn't ask you to rescue your family on your own. He didn't ask you to change the whole generation. He said, can I use you to change Israel's destiny? And many times when we listen to the suggestion of sabotage, we think when God calls us to do stuff, we overestimate that he's asking us to do it alone. He said, there's no way I can do this. And listen to the second suggestion. He then compared himself, which I know nobody in this room has a problem with, lies. But he said, we are the weakest clan in our tribe. Church, if we're going to get stronger, we cannot sabotage what God has spoken over us by comparing ourselves to people who were not called to do what God called us to do. I know it's easy to look at everybody else, but God said, I chose you, I called you, go with the strength you have, and stop overestimating what you'll have to do without me, and stop comparing yourself to everybody else because I didn't call them to do it. And then look at the last thing. He undervalued what God placed in him. He said, the tribe is the weakest, and I'm the weakest out of the tribe. He undervalued. He listened to the suggestions of sabotage. What God has placed inside of you, he's placed it there for the task ahead of you. The reason why I was in high school leading 2,000 young people at pep rallies acting a fool when I had no qualification to do that is because God was preparing me in that moment to lead a church of thousands of people and get up on a stage and act a fool. I would have never known that what I was doing in that season was the training for what God has me doing in this season. But I had to go with the strength that I had, and I had to rely on the fact that when it's time, what God placed in me was what I needed for what he called me to. And we're standing at start trying to figure out, is this you, God? Do I have enough? He said, I already told you, the first word I said to you was mighty hero. The first thing I spoke over your life is you're the head and not the tail. The first thing I spoke over you is that you were going to be overcoming in every situation. And so look how God responds to Gideon. I love it. Ooh, Judges 6:16. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Hold on, what? See, instead of listening to the suggestions of sabotage, where we overestimate what we have to do, where we undervalue what God has put inside of us, when we compare ourselves, we need to know this. Somebody say, I know God's got me. That was the first thing that he said to him. He said, I will be with you. When God's saying, I will be with you, he's saying, I got you. And then look at the second thing that he said. It's a statement of strength. He said, you're going to be victorious. Somebody say, I'm victorious. He said, you're going to defeat the Midianites. And I'm not just going to allow you to go through the war and be beat up. I'm going to make you victorious. And some of y'all need to know that the things that you've been going through, the wars you've been facing, the fights that you've been in, that God is going to make you victorious. Somebody say it one more time. I'm victorious. And then look at this last one. He said, you need to know I'm favored. He said, you're going to do a fight that should take a lot more people, and you're going to fight them as if you are fighting one man. God told me, he said, Michael, in this season, I want you to encourage the people no longer to think about their feelings of comparison and overestimating and undervaluing. I need them to know, I know God's got me. I know I'm victorious. I know I'm favored, and I know I'm getting stronger. You're going to have to rehearse the word of the Lord because you're not going to feel it. I'm so sorry. I came to give you the news that you needed to hear at the beginning of the year. But while you're getting stronger, you're not going to feel it. So when you don't feel it, you got to rehearse the promise. God's got me. I'm victorious. I'm favored. And I'm getting stronger. Somebody say, God's got me. I'm victorious. I'm favored. I'm getting stronger. Now somebody needs to say it with faith. Somebody say, God's got me. I'm victorious. I'm favored. I'm getting stronger. Just one more time with everything that you got. Somebody say, I know God's got me. I'm victorious. I'm favored, and I'm getting stronger. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. I don't feel it, but God's got me. This hurts, but I'm victorious. This sucks, but I'm favored. And you know what? I'm getting stronger. Oh, God. As I'm doing that, I'm about to cry. Because 2 years ago, Brentum as my witness, Brentum standing right there, I couldn't do 10 push-ups 2 years ago. And in front of people today, without thinking about it, not without looking for my progress every week, but literally I could do the rest of the service. Sitting here, no, y'all don't hear me. I couldn't do 10 2 years ago. But I can stand here now as I stand in the spirit, and I can say that God's got me. I'm victorious. I'm favored, and I'm getting stronger. Will somebody give God a shout of praise in this building? Worship team, come back up here. Hear me real quick. That part of that worship song that said, I know. Breakthrough is coming by faith. I see. What's the first? It says, I know. I stop. From now on, it's not I feel. What's the words? I know. And I need somebody to realize that I'm getting stronger because I no longer need to feel it. I just gotta know it. So by faith, I need somebody to sing this out and know your situation is changing. I know breakthrough is coming. Something's moving. By faith, I see a miracle. Come on. My God, he did what? Gave me a He made Gideon a promise. He's made you a promise. Say,
I know. Woo! The breakthrough is coming.
I don't gotta feel it. I know it. He made me a promise. Somebody say, I know.
I know.
Said, I know.
I
don't have to feel it, but it doesn't make sense. I don't understand. That's my faith. Somebody say, hands lifted all over this building. Father, I pray. I tried to deliver this word, Father, how you gave it to me. But Father, I didn't feel it after the prayer and fasting, but I know it. Father, for every situation in our life that we've been trying to feel our way through it, I declare and I believe that there will be a knowing that only comes from the Holy Spirit. That Father God, we would not give up in the middle of the thing that you are trying to do in us, because it doesn't feel like it's changing. Father God, we are going to be a church that is resolved, and it doesn't matter about the results. Father, we get stronger because we are faithful. And we thank you that right now we know that you are with us. We know that we are victorious, and we know that we are favored, and we know that we are getting stronger. I declare that the suggestions of sabotage would fall off of the minds and the hearts of people, that they would stop overestimating what you have called them to do without you, that they would no longer compare themselves to people who weren't called to what you called them to, and Father God, that they would not undervalue your goodness and grace to put everything in us that we need. Today we declare, not that we feel, but we know, in Jesus' name. If you know it, give God a shout of praise. I said, if you know it, even when you don't feel it, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for watching Transformation Church's YouTube. And I just want you to take another step. If this is feeding you, join Transformation Nation. That's everybody that doesn't live here in Tulsa watching live with us on Sunday mornings. Gather your family. Let's make this thing an every week situation. And please share. Share if it has impacted your life. There is somebody that is waiting for you to share this with them. And transformation is only a click away. And there's one more thing I would ask you to do. Pray about giving. If you want to help us take this message all around the world and represent God to lost and found people for one reason, transformation in Christ, you can do that right now by clicking the give button. I cannot wait to see you the next time we're here. Live a transformed life.